but I knew I was going to get that one out. Bolivarianos. Sorry, I'll have to practice before tomorrow night. Proceeds go to Encuentro Cinco to launch its next year. Encuentro Cinco is a community space of radical and progressive nature. A force of nature. That's tomorrow night, Saturday, 7 p.m. to late. Encuentro Cinco is located at 33 Harrison Avenue, 5th floor in Chinatown. And their website is encuentro5.org.
And the Militant Labor Forum presents a program on the European crisis and attacks on workers. Government debt spreads to England, to Ireland. Students protest education cuts in England. Workers face lower wages, reduced pensions, and massive cuts in social services. But what caused the debt crisis, and how can workers resist these attacks?
Hint, capitalism.
Well, you can hear about it more this Saturday, December 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Militant Labor Forum Hall, 13 Bennington Street, 2nd floor in East Boston. For more information, call 617-569-9169.
The DREAM Act is at a crucial time. A vote could happen during this holiday season. In celebration of the holidays, supporters of the DREAM Act will host a sermon with religious leaders in support of the act, followed by a vigil this Monday from noon to 1. Religious and community leaders, dreamers, and their allies will tell faith stories starting at noon at Boston City Hall Plaza. And then from 4:30 to 5:30, there will be a vigil with caroling. In between that time, community leaders and dreamers will visit Scott Brown's office with holiday cards, presents, and prayer, because Scott Brown could use someone to pray for him. That's this Monday at Boston City Hall Plaza. This is organized by the Student Immigrant Movement, a youth-led organization fighting for immigrants' rights in Massachusetts. For more information, visit simforus.com. That's simforus.com. And indeed, we are all out of time once again. It's 7 p.m., the views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and have not necessarily been those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. This song will end in a minute 15, and then you will have music for human beings. We will be back next week, and by we, I do mean me. Thank you for joining us on What's Left. This is WMBR in Cambridge.
This is Dr. Jalis Sakran calling all of those of you who are under mind control. It's time to turn off those helmets and think freely. I was told the new year is coming, but the year is only meant to mark some occasion. Why not today? Well, here to help us bring in the new year is Erno. Erno, welcome.
Hello, Doctor, and a happy new year to you. I'm looking forward to imbibing your words of wisdom tonight.
Yeah, I'm told they increase with the imbibery.
With the imbibulation, yes.
Well, it's so good to have you here, Erno. We can imbibe each other's company in the new year. Also here with us is Aurora. Aurora is a vocal therapist. Aurora, marhaban.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Aurora, it's so wonderful to have you with us.
I apologize for the gruffness of my voice. I have just imbibed or consumed salted peanuts.
And these, it's traditional to consume these on the new year.
Exactly. Either salted peanuts or black-eyed peas, depending on the tradition. But usually some sort of legume.
I myself am partial to red lentils.
And yet they are far more difficult to eat raw.
Well, I think...
Very much so.
It's true. I personally have chosen to mark the new year, which begins in roughly 20 minutes, by having a glass of seltzer. It's pretty gross.
And I absolutely love this tradition of choosing a random day to be the mark of a new year. For it is true that any day you choose can mark a new beginning and can allow you to form changes within yourself.
Well, I think it's not totally random. But I agree with you, the choice of the day is completely arbitrary, even the time.
And it reminds us that every day, every moment of our life calls for joy and celebration as long as we are furthering ourselves, tailoring our soul.
I once heard of an indigenous tribe in the darkest depths of Africa that chose to start the new year on a day that we would call February 30th at the time of 8 a.m. It was very, very difficult to sync up their calendar, but my colleague who lived with them for several years had worked on it considerably and found out the conversion factor was 3/4.
So 3/4 of their year is equal to 1 of our years.
3/4 of our year is 1 of theirs. So I guess in maybe 4/3 is the real conversion.
So 4/3 of our year is 1 of theirs. So their year is longer than ours.
I believe so, yes. But they are also a tribe that was very, very interested in imbibing many, many sorts of potions, you may say. So it was hard for them to keep track, as it is for me sometimes. I know that...
I've noticed you imbibing quite a lot over there, Erno. Is this a spiritual thing because also the new year?
It is a cleansing act for the new year. Cleanse my mind, cleanse my soul. And the best way to do that is by invoking imbibulation of a potion.
And for those of our listeners who cannot see at the moment, Erno is imbibing a clear liquid that bubbles slightly. And it's in a... What is that glass made of?
Plastic.
I would say glass.
It appears to be a jug used for cleaning fluid.
Well, it strangely has six flat sides as opposed to the normal circular compartment. Does the geometry of your glass have any effect on the imbibulation?
On the physical act of imbibulation, no, but it's strange. The cubic symmetry can have a wonderful spiritual effect and make your mind feel much more well-rounded, let's say.
Mm. When
cubes tend to do that.
They do. There's a lot of symmetry there. I think also the number six is significant when the year is just beginning. Speaking of the number six, if you'd like to call in and join us, the number is 617-253-8810, and we would certainly love to have you join us and help us bring in the new year.
Let's imbibe another voice.
Caller, welcome.
Thank you. Do you guys have your top 10 picks of the year yet?
Our top 10 picks. Well, I think, I generally...
The toothpick is my personal favorite.
I like... Mm-hmm. There is...
The pickaxe.
The ice pick.
I like the abbreviation for pictures.
Pictures. Mm. I would like a pick.
Yeah.
There are things that you can pick.
Pick for get the freak out.
Picnic.
Picnic.
Mm-hmm.
My knack.
Picnic.
Picking locks.
The locks, also the nose.
Yeah, 10th pick for kickball.
Piccadilly Last Square.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's it. I'm going to go home.
Well, thank you so much for
thank
that.
Thank you for sharing your picks for the year.
It was a pleasure. Bye.
Let's bring in another voice and maybe pick someone else. Caller, welcome. Marhaban. Caller?
Again, that's my number.
Okay, I think we sort of heard something from the caller there. That was amazing.
It seems to be a very deep message.
So I think in many traditions, the new year should be marked by a lot of painful experiences, hence the use of the black-eyed peas as a way of warding off such experiences in the new year. And it's always nice when our callers help us do that. Caller, welcome.
Hello. I'd like to ask you an opinion. Do you feel it is as though it is a sort of spiritual problem in this country because marijuana is so illegal and difficult to attain?
This is an excellent question, caller.
Thank you.
I believe that we should all discuss this, as I'm sure there are so many different opinions out there. I personally... I condone reaching out and learning to meditate with oneself and one's chemistry as is, and some others use marijuana or other drugs to supplement or to allow them to achieve a different state. So I believe that there are two sides to this.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I see Aurora's view of marijuana, or we call it hashish, as a crutch for the meditating person. I think it is generally perpendicular Although to some it is like a pair of glasses. There is really no shame in donning spectacles when you have trouble seeing. And so the spiritual spectacle may be marijuana for some, but not for me. So I wonder, caller, do you feel it is a spiritual thing?
I think it can be, yes. Especially when used in a quiet environment, and to your point of spectacles, when I'm having difficulty in seeing the many colors of life.
I mean, to me, caller, I love this idea that in the right environment, anything can be spiritual. And if you are devoid of spirituality, anything can also be base. It is possible to experience even this in a base, hedonistic way.
I have often had very spiritual experiences when consuming an apple-flavored Jolly Rancher, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are many who would consume them to the point of illness.
Correct. Which is to the point of sadness.
In the many potions that I imbibe in my work every day, I also notice the same thing. There are many different liquids and different solids, different things you can eat and drink that, when taken out of moderation, while normally not harmful, can indeed become very harmful.
Indeed.
Caller, I wonder, you know, as ultimately a foreigner, the idea of the country being non-spiritual intrigues me. Because even though I think as a whole, spiritual matters are regarded lightly, many of the people that I meet are spiritual at some level, and I think even I might even suggest that there is in among the popular societal wisdom there is a view that that there is some spiritual force. I'm not sure. Is your impression as a native may differ from mine?
Well, I must say, at the moment, I am stuck in a horrendous traffic jam in Boston, and I am wondering, as people look around at the buildings around them and the lights, the taillights of the cars in front of them, and people walking on the sidewalk, I wonder if they're actually thinking that there's something beyond us at the moment. I find our systems in the country certainly don't work on a spiritual level, for they serve the few. And there's a general lack of ability to accept human foibles for the delightful things that they actually are.
I agree with you completely, caller. And I believe that just as it takes one kernel in a bag of popcorn to start a reaction, that each individual has a capability of taking these situations, traffic jams, being stuck in elevators, all of these situations which are normally painful in this society,
mm-hmm.
and to turn it around. And I believe I've mentioned previously on the show that one thing I like to do in a traffic jam is to start to sing a song that many people know. And usually people will join in and will take this painful experience and elevate it and allow us to connect with one another.
It becomes a moment in life. And caller, how is the energy there? How are the feelings of people? I think it's generally a tense circumstance, but not always.
Correct. Right now I see a woman next to me in her car pounding on her steering wheel, when in fact she should just resign herself to the fact that this is where we are at the moment. I myself am enjoying some police lights flashing, thankful that they're in front of me and not behind me, and enjoying the traffic lights changing red and green. And I don't presume to think that I'm the most spiritually advanced person in the world, but I do know that step one to enlightenment is not to take any of this too seriously.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful attitude that you are able to view it this way, because I think generally people forget that they are alive, even when they are driving. So their lives are suspended because they are in the car.
I think to a certain extent this is... The big problem is due to a large sense of entitlement. That all of us, we believe that we are entitled to having, for example, internet access on our cell phones in the middle of a subway station. And when things like that do not occur, when the internet is a little slower, when traffic is a bit slower, we forget that our ancestors, even a generation ago, it took them years and years to travel across the world, and that is something we can do within a day.
Exactly. And how many guitarists or violinists with hats in front of them at these subway stops have not been heard because people are too busy cursing the lack of internet access?
Exactly.
Yes.
Caller, I wonder if we may be so bold as to suggest trying rolling down that window and reaching out, perhaps not bodily, but emotionally.
Just one moment. I'm opening my window now, and I must say that I'm trying to take a left-hand turn, and people are blocking it. And I notice that they're ignoring me, as though they don't want to make eye contact because they think for some reason I'm going to be angry at them because I cannot take an immediate left-hand turn.
Why don't you try smiling cheerfully? Waving.
I mean, I think it may be regarded as sarcastic.
Yes. However, I took the risk and I mouthed happy holidays.
Any response?
None.
Alas.
Alack.
And yet I believe that even when there is no response, that you may have lightened someone's heart, someone's day, as each smile is a form of charity.
Correct. But this has been a very worthwhile phone call. And getting back to my first question about spirituality and marijuana or any other substance, I would say that sometimes it's akin to, in the world there is a great spiritual force, as though it's a phone ringing constantly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people just need an assistance to pick the phone up. And I think marijuana can be an assistant to some.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. And I think Erno can speak not to marijuana in particular, but to a number of elixirs that I see him imbibing constantly. And I think that that there certainly is a spiritual effect there. Wouldn't you say, Erno?
Yes, I think I would. I would, indeed.
I have noticed that there are many, many things that one can use to increase their spiritual worth and their spiritual
sensitivity.
I've noticed there's a story about a potionologist many, many years ago named Jonathan Danicus, and he once created a potion that he thought would increase his ability to connect with others. It's very strange. Now, the actual functioning of this potion, the functionality, is up to debate, and people debate it all the time, but, I mean, there are many people who believe that when you imbibe potions of cordiality or friendship, potions meant to connect you with others, that they believe you are never imbibing them alone, you're always imbibing them with Jonathan Danicus.
Correct.
You are always, always drinking with Jonathan Danicus.
That is such a beautiful image of connectedness.
Indeed.
But it's so global. You know...
And perhaps you are drinking it with all of those others who have drinking it with Jonathan Danicus.
Now, if
yes, you are never drinking or imbibing alone.
I cannot remember in English, is yogurt, is it eaten or is it drinked?
I believe that depends on the consistency.
But usually does one say, I'm drinking yogurt or I am eating?
When one says, I'm eating yogurt, they are eating something with a spoon, something with a perhaps somewhat semi-solid consistency. Mm-hmm. And when they are drinking yogurt, they are drinking cultured milk.
And in any case, whenever I drink yogurt, I remember my father, because I when I was a child, he had a blue car, and I spilled a yogurt drink in the car, and it smelled like yogurt for the rest of his life. And so naturally, I have a very strong association, and part of your nose is very involved in memory. So whenever I smell or drink yogurt, I remember the car, and it was a point that resulted in a fracture in our relationship, the yogurty car. And eventually, he almost completely disowned me, and leaving to me after his death only this car, which to this day, I imagine, smells of yogurt.
Well, I'm sorry, Doctor, I didn't follow. If he left you the car, mm-hmm. should you not know exactly what it smells like?
No, I didn't keep this stinky car.
No, of course. Well,
like,
why would
yogurt.
You?
As a somewhat of a non sequitur, a friend of mine came to me with an issue this week. Now, this friend of mine, he had this great ability to see visions, to see into a non-physical realm. And it gave him a great insight into people, into their souls, and somewhat of a soothing, healing value as well. And he ended up in the hospital with what the doctors referred to as I'm not sure what it is exactly, but it explodes in the brain and there's blood everywhere. And it has not yet burst in him, but they wish to take it out. And they say that this would remove his visions, his ability to see into this next world.
And was it an aneurysm?
Yes, an aneurysm, thank you. Now, he is uncertain what he should do, whether he should have this aneurysm removed and lose his vision.
His vision, his actual physical sight?
No, his metaphysical.
It's bizarre, isn't it, to think that the seat of something that is so glorious and spiritual and gaseous in a way should reside in an actual physical spot, that it should be seated there.
Perhaps there is a compromise that can be made. Perhaps they could move half of the aneurysm?
I'm not sure if that's possible.
Or loosen it. I'm not sure also.
But the question is whether or not this aneurysm really is the cause of his ability to see.
Well, they are suggesting that it is the aneurysm that has made him spiritual.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not sure. Certainly stranger things have happened to other people. But I'm...
An aneurysm can be a spiritual potion for sure.
Really? So,
but again, it goes back to the moderation that I mentioned before.
Too large an aneurysm.
Yes, that's why I suggest cutting it in half. That would be my first instinct.
It's sensible, a middle way. Well, speaking of middle ways and more experiences for marking the new year, we were sent a sample of balloon music, and I was asked to play it, so let's see what that sounds like now.
This is absolutely glorious.
But if the legends are true, we can expect to experience no pain in the coming year.
Indeed, this music is, I would say, an auditory potion, a very spiritual one at that.
Well, it takes a very open mind to experience these screeching noises and to understand the beauty that lies in them. And it is a sound that we all experience, and we associate balloons with happiness, with parties and birthdays and cake. And so to have the noise of a balloon being rubbed, just like the noise of fingernails on a chalkboard, can bring us back to those times.
Yeah, the person who sent it to us suggested that the use of the balloon as a musical instrument is somehow related to the feminist movement. There is a connection there which I do not grasp. If you do grasp it, or if you have other things that you would like to say, the number is 617-253-8810, and we'd like to hear them. Caller, marhaban.
Hey, can I have some of that balloon music?
Absolutely, the balloon music belongs to everyone.
Can you post it to my friendster?
I'm not sure.
alexvance.friendster.com. Probably not, but just search for my name.
I believe that we are not allowed to do that.
I'm not sure what I'm being asked to do.
Do you have an internet?
Yes, and yes, internet.
Basically, just internet it.
Internet.
Well, caller, this balloon music is not in a conventional internet format.
It's on a balloon?
Well, no, the archive of the show will be available on the internet.
I want just the balloon.
Just the balloons. I'm not sure. Is it possible?
Do you know if it can be differentiated, the balloon?
Now, caller, I would suggest that you purchase a balloon, a regular party balloon, and fill it.
You think I should make my own?
Fill it with your own breath.
It's very strange. This music, it comes in a very strange format for the internet. I believe it's .bal. A .bal file. If you have a player that could.
Probably a virus.
Or
you guys. Stuff is backed up.
I believe normal musical formats for computer encoding, like .mp3, just cannot contain the intricacies of the balloon music. It's very.
Well, how about this? How about like
you miss out on frequencies?
I mean, can you teach balloon music to other people, or is it just something that?
Is it inborn? No, I think it's transmittable. Inborn? But caller, I think a realistic.
Could I come in there and just have a session?
Absolutely.
How much GS charge?
Absolutely. I think we would love to commune with you. Or
do you guys have balloons already?
If you have a balloon on hand, we could also we could try it over the phone. But
just a jam session,
do,
if you
man.
Will.
Is there anything like a household item that could work?
Like a balloon, or
possibly.
I have an inflatable couch. Would that work?
I think if someone
absolutely
is sitting on the couch, it's possible.
I believe it's part of the balloon quartet, right?
It's all
along
about
with the air mattress.
The air mattress.
Yeah, it's basically an air mattress.
And the
got the stains and all that.
The inflated mailer. But caller, truly, I think it's all about the pressure, air pressure in the
bubble wrap
in the balloon.
It's not my inflatable couch has a leak, so it's not that good. But okay, so do you guys have a balloon over there?
Now, caller, if you were to take a regular coffee mug and stretch saran wrap around it, perhaps tape it around the top or use a rubber band. You could run your finger along the saran wrap and make a similar noise.
I believe that is even used as the percussion instrument in this quartet.
Mm. Should we do a jam right now? Should we get that going up?
Please.
Give me 5 minutes. Will you let me stay on the line?
Absolutely. I think probably maybe.
I'll take that risk. I'll be right back.
Good luck.
In the meantime, I think we should keep our minds focused on the imminent new year, which begins in just under 5 minutes. Just take a moment. Let's think about how strange the year has been. It seems a little bit shorter than other years.
And yet longer.
And yet the same length.
It has been a melancholy year, a year of growth, a year of saturation.
I have seen it as a very happy year, personally. Much work has been done. I have accomplished much in the potion laboratory.
Hello?
Caller, welcome.
What have you guys been up to?
Talking about the end of this year and the beginning of the next.
Aw, man. That's crazy, man.
Yes. Do you have any goals for the following year, caller?
Yeah. I want to make my own business, number one. I want to buy a car. Number three, I want to be in a movie or buy a movie. Number four, I want to, no, that's it. No, I want nice slippers.
Well, caller, I believe that, you know, it's wonderful to hear things like this because they are so specific, but very material. Why do you want these things? How do they make you feel?
They make me feel warm.
So is it really...
Particularly the slippers, yes?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking mainly about the slippers.
But now, caller, is it the feeling of warmth that you are after, or is it particularly these items, the hot dog and the slippers and the movie?
I could go for a hot dog.
Yeah, I'm really hungry.
I think the store's closed.
Because it's New Year. In just two more minutes.
Yeah? Why are you guys celebrating like the Asian New Year?
No, we're just our own New Year.
You guys want to hear balloons?
Please.
I would love to hear.
Okay, let's do it.
Caller, that was, it's and just on the cusp of the new year.
It is transcendental.
I just broke it.
Well, it was beautiful, caller, because there are traditions having to do with the new year and bringing it in with this sort of vocalization, I think, is valuable. Makes me think about the things that I would not like to hear ever again.
Yeah.
So that's really...
Like your wife screams.
It's an interesting experience.
Baron.
The flame that burns brightly burns not forever.
So we're just about 45 seconds from the new year. From the actual moment.
No one will ever.
And I think to mark it, it would be nice if we counted the first 10 seconds of the new year.
Instead of the last 10, as is normally done.
Because we are
wonderful.
Welcoming it, looking
yes.
forward.
It is not a celebration of endings, but of beginnings.
I'm ready.
In time, caller, in time.
And about
prepare,
8 seconds.
Prepare mentally.
All right, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
He cried.
Happy New Year to all.
And happy old year to everyone.
And happiness also to those who do not celebrate years.
Yes, exactly.
For we are inclusive.
We always remember and imagine the new year as a rebirth, as an exiting from the womb and into the world. And yet, life is continuous. You could choose any day for your rebirth.
Are any of you guys Jewish?
Sorry, Connor?
Are you guys Jewish?
I believe most of us are pantheists.
You believe in pants?
In pans, Connor.
Frying pans.
I am myself. I'm only a monopantist.
Oh.
It's like a pantheist, but you only just only believe in one, yes.
No.
Well, listen, no, actually, in very seriousness, I'm actually a monotheist.
Which God?
Which God?
Yeah.
Well, if there is only one, then
there really isn't much of an argument.
Yeah, really just that one.
It's very futile to argue over which monotheistic deity you worship.
This
is not
God.
All right.
So, caller, and which? Are you also Jewish or?
No.
Yeah, Professor Levine is Jewish.
Was.
I think he continues to be.
It is a type.
To be formerly.
Well, when one of my acquaintances or deep friends leaves me for a long time, I always consider them as somewhat
having passed. So you use the past tense because your experiences is the prime one.
He is no longer with me.
I see. And this brings me back to this idea of being in space. Because gravity is so evident.
Yeah, I know. Alright, I'm gonna leave. It's been real. Thanks.
Well, it has been so wonderful orbiting and being in orbit.
May gravity always be at your heels and the sun on your heels as well.
Thank you, caller.
Beautiful caller. Namaste.
My son.
Goodbye.
Well, the new year is always so complex. I always think it's time to get some new clothes.
New spiritual clothes or physical?
I'm really happy with my spiritual clothes.
Indeed, it is interesting, but everyone tailors their own spiritual clothes through their daily actions.
What are your spiritual clothes, Aurora?
Well, in spirituality, I envision myself as a great orb, somewhat like a collection of LEDs. And every beautiful action that I've done brightens up a new light to form a new image. And every terrible thing I've done blinks one out.
Well, if you would like to burn a new image into our ears, the number is 617-253-8810, and we would love to tailor your spirit. Caller, welcome.
Welcome, caller.
Caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, hi, it's Scott from Cambridge.
Hello, Scott.
Welcome, Scott.
Hi, how are you, Aurora?
Doing well. And yourself?
Good, thank you.
How are you, Scott?
Good, thank you. I was wondering, in regard to the future contained within universes that presently exist.
The presently existing contained universes.
Yeah, we spoke about decay.
Mm-hmm.
And that universes decay. I'm looking at, because of the museum thing that's going on, I'm looking at civilizations and Kenneth Clark and old civilizations just to tune into the United States as an art form. Although things decay.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, because...
That's just my reference point. Mm-hmm. Reference?
Yeah, let's stand on that reference together.
My point thing that when I restore, my restore reference. So, is there a spiritual universe currently existing in the future that we interact with?
Carla, this is an excellent question, and I believe that the spiritual universe, today and in the future, and 10,000 years ago, is all one continuous, intersecting mass, that we are always interacting with the past and the future and the present, equally and irreversibly.
Yes, while I can't offer any insight into future universes or future interactions, I am quite positive that we are always presently interacting with the spiritual world around us, so it follows to say that we will be doing so in the future.
So we're having a simultaneous New Year?
Yes.
Okay.
Always, in every moment.
Yeah, I have
it
to
really,
admit,
every moment should be a moment of new beginning. If you really want to encourage your own spiritual growth, it shouldn't be limited to once a year. In this sense, every day, every second should be the beginning of a new spiritual year.
I have felt consistently in my life that a future version of myself was guiding the past version. And I think it takes intense concentration to have that sort of effect on the past, but we do it instinctively for the future. I'm constantly influencing who I will be later, sometimes inconsiderately. I'm not sure, Scott, do you feel also that there was an earlier caller who mentioned that he felt that the society he was living in had experienced a spiritual demise.
That there's a politeness to interconnectivity with galaxies above us?
Yeah, among other things. I mean, I think he mentioned the possibility, like the... if you treat his situation in the car.
Yeah, well, if you got turned down by humanoids, then you'd want to be pretty polite to them. So I guess the same rule of thumb would go for any interstellar forms. Because you just want to be kind to humanoids.
I always wonder if
you would actually interact seriously in a serious relationship with...
No, I understand. I mean, I think the logical extension of this is that we should eat each other. And the way that I would state that is that we like to believe that we are kind to other things while we consume chickens. And if we consume chickens without consuming members of our own species, this is just a speciesside. It is simply consuming the chicken because it is a chicken, which is something it was born into. It was
okay.
Unable to choose.
What I'd be available for really quickly is Strindberg, who actually is melancholy about what we do to each other. Whether it be intentional or within our control. Apparently, Strindberg has a bleak outlook on whether we eat each other or whether we're cannibals. But there will be hope in a future. There will be hope on in a future colonization of some sort, that we would bring spirituality from here with us.
I wonder if, in the hypothetical situation that humanity comes into contact with another of our race, or another intelligent race, let's say, do you think we would be tempted to eat them? How would we react to, because it's been nothing like it has ever happened in human history or experience before. I wonder, do we even know what our reaction would be?
You could use the concept of a straw.
How so?
Infusion.
I'm sorry, Scott, I'm not.
You could
not following?
Just, instead of eating them, actually, you could use a straw and transfuse.
Or consume a part of them.
Yeah, you could actually trade like
So this was a tradition among
like
the
blood.
The Mongols who would ride their horses, and when no outside nourishment was available, would make a blood soup, where they would drain some part of the blood of the horse and consume it to remain living and able to travel extremely quickly.
Or, in our hypothetical scenario, it would be more like the two races meeting and the human race exchanging arms for tentacles, and that way both starving races could live and yet not become cannibalistic?
Yeah, a lot of nursing homes. A lot of nursing homes tackle that question.
How so?
On what's a good diet for old civilizations and what newfangled jolly whatchamacallit things.
Ranchers.
Jolly, yeah. I'm sorry, hon.
But I think to a certain extent it is important to look at the positive sides of things. We can look at the world and the cruelty that we inflict upon one another and consider it as a form of cannibalism, or we can attempt to concentrate on the good, on the positive actions that we do upon one another, and call it diffusion or interaction or wholeness, unity.
That'd be the metaphor is what... It's what the exchange of limbs and tentacles in our allegory before symbolizes.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's a lot like this idea of spiritual tailoring. I've noticed the youth will often purchase, again back to the pants, that they will purchase trousers that are intended to accentuate their limbs in a particular way. Similarly, one may dress oneself spiritually to constrain movement, to present a more appealing spiritual impression.
Soul binding,
and I think
it's strange. We have all this talk about spiritual dress, but the most. What I believe would be the most enjoyable form of spiritual dress would be no dress at all, because I would not want to close off my soul to any other human being or any other being at all. Spiritual nakedness is really, really what we should all strive for.
Well, when we refer to spiritual dress, we merely refer to all the positivity that we inflict upon the world as forming our soul, which remains bare to those who can see.
Well, and I think, Erno, to add my own view to Aurora's here, that when you are young, constant nudity seems like an interesting idea. But in practice, I think it can be repulsive, and it can be damaging to one. So in particular, in the spiritual dress, one may refer to one's own moral code or strictures which prevent movement or the displaying of aspects of the soul, of the spirit, that are considered too exciting.
The soul that burns too brightly needs a lampshade.
This is a wonderful, wonderful metaphor for what I believe many people call the white lie, and why it's needed.
Precisely.
You can't just bare your soul in its complete nakedness. Sometimes there must be some cover.
There is such a thing as too much honesty, and I think we're almost reaching that point now. Well, Scott, of course, thank you very much for calling and being with us.
Thank you.
Wonderful to hear from you again, sir.
Coming up next, regular rock and roll?
Radio Ninja.
Okay. Thank you. Nice talking with you.
Thank you, Scott, also. Okay. Very much a pleasure.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. Happy New Year. And thanks to Erno.
Thank you, Doctor.
And to Aurora.
Namaste.
Thanks to the many callers and listeners and other people who are around. I'm Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. Now in the new spiritual year number 2, on WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM. Stay tuned again for Radio Ninja. Ma'asalam.
For safety.
Number 1.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number 2.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number 3.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number 4.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
He came from outer space to save the human race. A creature with a dream to entertain the children of the night. The rest, as they say, became history. Oh.
Magogo, The Show Show, Saturdays, 8 p.m., WMBR, 88.1 FM, Cambridge.
Hello out there, Cambridge. This is L Train. You're tuned in to WMBR Cambridge for another episode of Radio Ninja. So I was just in our extensive radio library listening to Music for Human Beings, which I love. I love you guys. It's so funny. Yeah, those guys are serious. Let's see, I have had this song in my head all day. It's by Grasscut, which I play every week, but I'm trying to diversify which song I play on this album. It's their only release. I think that they would appeal to fans of the books. Grasscut, they are a new duo.